12 through 16. I am a temple of God. Are you saved tonight? If you are, can you say, I am a temple of God? Let me hear you. I am a temple of God. And we're going to see what that means in just a minute, because the Bible says that you are the temple of God. I think I'll just go ahead and read these scriptures from 12 through 16. Now, Jesus Christ cleansing the temple. This was at a time of when the temple was still being in use before Jesus Christ died on the cross. Still, the temple sacrifices were going on. Jesus went into the temple, and we know in verse 12 of chapter 21 it says, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and seated of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna, the son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, hearken thou what they say. And Jesus said unto them, ye, have you never read in the Old Testament, he is talking about Psalms 8 and 2, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Let us pray again. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we are the temple of the Lord. And Lord, with that comes a great responsibility, far greater than we'll ever realize while we're walking on this earth. Help us to understand, Father, what you're trying to do through us and in us. Because you said in your holy word that you will never leave us nor forsake us, that we are the temple of God. Lord, there's so many that we need to pray for, and so many on our prayer list, and the times that we see of the seasons arising. Lord, we need you more now than we ever needed you before. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. When you were saved, God came into your life to live in you and to live through you. You are the temple of God. Now, God dwell in houses, or God does not dwell in houses made with hands, as the temple in the Old Testament, also the tabernacle. He does not dwell like in this building, but he dwells in this building, in that building. The Old Testament, we know the temple and also the tabernacle was only the prophecy and also the pattern of believers today. The Old Testament, God had a temple for his people. Today, he has a people for his temple. And we are that, you and I. Now, people think, well, I'm saved, man, I'm going to heaven, and you are. And they think that's salvation. I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, and that's salvation. But that's not salvation. That's the result of salvation. Salvation is not getting man to heaven, but getting God out of heaven and into man. That's whenever you were saved, when God out of heaven and came in to live with you. You become a holy temple of God. Now the question is tonight, can God be pleased to dwell in you? Can God be pleased to dwell in you? Some college boys had a mascot, was a billy goat. Thing about it is they didn't have no place to keep him. One of them says, well, let him stay in the dorm. Another one says, well, what about the smell? One of the other one said, the goat can get used to it, we did. You know, college boys might live in a dirty house, but God will not dwell in a dirty house. But he won't move out. He won't move out of that dirty house. You know what he will do? He will clean house. He will clean house like he did here in the temple. You are the temple, and he will clean house. These three thoughts, as we look into that place where Jesus went into the temple, and the temple was profound with all kinds of things is going on, and but you see, he plunders that temple, and the purpose of the temple we fix and see, because you and I is what we see going on in that temple. Verse 12 again, Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and brought into the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Now, what was happening at that time in Old Testament, also in Jesus' time, this beautiful, wonderful temple, the people have made it, these money changers made it a den of thieves. Now, what is these money changers? Money changers, they were very dishonest. They was kind of like bankers in the temple. At that time, you could not use any type of money to give to the temple. The money they had, the coins they had at that time was Roman coins. It had to be changed into the temple coins before they could give it to the temple, before they would take it. So they had a group of people, was money changers, and they would change the temple money, from take it from this Roman money and change these coins into temple money. And what they do would, they would charge a higher rate of interest. You know what that is? Your credit cards or stuff like that. Just whatever they want to charge you, that's what they charged. Just a high rate of interest. What they was doing was stealing from God's people, and they were stealing from God. They made the house of God a den of thieves because they was making a great profit out of it. The temple become a den of thieves. Now, the temple, the purpose is you and I was to glorify God. There's a place on this earth. The temple is the only place on this earth that God came down and dwelled in that temple at that time. Remember the holies of holies? We're going to study that before long, I hope, in the tabernacle. But even in the temple, in the holies of holies, one place in the entire universe, not just in this world, the universe, that God came down in the presence of the holies of holies. And only the high priest could go in there. That's where he met at. But now he meets here. The purpose of that temple was to glorify God. That's what the purpose was. That was to glorify God. 1 Corinthians 6, 19, 20 tells us, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your bodies and in your spirit, which are God's. Y'all remember watching most of us I know have seen it, probably several times, The Passion of Christ. I think most of us have seen that film, The Passion of Christ. And the part that really stuck in my mind and lingered there longer than any other part is where they kept beating him and just kept beating him and they just kept beating him and they just kept beating him. And I said, when are they going to quit? I'm moving to the next scene, but they kept beating him and they just kept beating him and they just kept beating him and they just kept beating him on and on and on. And what really come to my mind as you see that, because you see, Holy Scriptures covers all that up. You don't read that in Holy Scriptures. God's blotted that out. But what came to my mind as I saw that, what Christ done for you and what Christ done for me. Now listen, we are God's temple. And I be, are the things that you are living for worth Jesus Christ dying for? Are the things you're living for as a child of God, the temple of God, are they worth Christ dying for? Jesus died. Why did he do that? Why was we bought with the price of his precious blood? To glorify God in our bodies and in our spirit. That's the price he paid for you, to glorify God. Are you glorifying God in your body and in your spirit? The money changers, they was taking the tribute that belonged to God, and you be careful because we are doing the same thing, and they're using it for their own selfish purpose. You don't belong to yourself. You read that in the scriptures? You belong to Jesus, your body and your spirit. And if we don't give Jesus what he deserves and honor him in our body, we're stealing things that belongs to God. That's kind of heavy, isn't it? We're bought with a price. Are you here tonight? As we said, I am the temple of God. Can you say that? Know it for real. Are you in your body and your spirit glorifying God? You say, yes, in my spirit. God knows my heart, and I love him. But the Bible says glorify God not just in your spirit, but glorify God in your body. In your body. Now, only thing that you really know about me is through my body. You can't see my spirit. The only thing you really, you might think you know some things about me, but what you know about me is because what you see in my body. Are you glorifying God in your body? If people see Jesus, they're going to see it through your body. Am I correct? They're not going to see your spirit. They're going to see your body. And he says, use your body to glorify the Lord Jesus. Now, that's all every part of us, like our eyes. What are we watching? What are we seeing? Our eyes are part of our body. Do the things I watch, do the things I see with my eyes, do they glorify God? Maybe the music that I listen to as a whole, or people listen to, do that glorify God? Do the thing that I take into my mouth, my body, to everything that I take into my body as a Christian, the temple of God, do that glorify God? Now, there's all type of things that we take into our body, are there not? Alcohol. Does that glorify God? People say, well, it's all right, I drink a beer once in a while. It's all right to just take a little social drink once in a while. If you can do that and glorify God, yeah. Does it glorify God? All types of nicotine, chewing, smoking, whatever. Can we do that, take it in our body and glorify God? Drugs. Can we do that and glorify God? And the things that we eat, the food that we eat, you know, because our body is a body of the Lord. You know, there's a lot of things that we might get off and hang up on, like alcohol and smoking and all, but you know, we can eat things, we overeat and mess our bodies up, we know of, like if I'm a diabetic and I do things that I know it's going to cause me problems, that's on this body, you know, that's just as bad as somebody smoking or whatever else, or using nicotine some kind of way, if it's going to hurt my body, or something else. You know, if you got bad cholesterol problems and like I do, and you like all that fat meat, if I keep on eating that, you're taking things in your body you know is going to harm your body. And yet you can't do that and glorify God through it. So we have to be careful of all these things. Your body, our eyes, what our eyes see, and our hands. God, these hands don't belong to me. This body belongs to the Lord. Our eyes. What do we do with our hands? Well, I was in a convenience store the other day, and there's waiting on somebody that's buying lottery tickets, and you know, I'm not, that's just one of many things we shouldn't do. I do more things wrong than buy lottery tickets, I can tell you that. I can tell you that. Wrong attitude and all kind of things. But anyway, that person taking scratching off those scratch off. I've never bought one in my life, but they were scratching them off. But I got to thinking, you know, about this, because I already had this on my mind about this. But what if that person didn't have no hands? They wouldn't be scratching off those lottery tickets. I don't believe he would. You know, God gave us these hands for a reason. Our feet. They had turned the temple, these money changers, into a den of thieves, as we have this temple. And they was taking the honor and the tribute that belonged to God in the temple, and they was using it for their selfish interest. You know what? I do that some myself. I do that some myself. People say, well, I'm glorifying God in my spirit, but not in my body. But I'm going to heaven. I'm saved, and I tell you what I believe, what the Bible says, I'm saved, and I'm going to heaven. I tell you, the thief on the cross died, went to heaven, and he didn't do nothing. The thief on the cross. You know the difference between you and I? And I mean, difference between you and I and him, the thief on the cross? He was a dying thief. And if I don't do what I'm supposed to do in this body, I'm a living thief because I'm stealing from God. The things that this body should be doing to glorify God, and if I'm not doing, I'm a living thief. He didn't have a chance to do that. He was a dying thief. And what makes it a lot worse for me, because I'm a living thief. If I steal the tribute that belongs to the Lord through this body and use it on my selfish interest on what I want to do, I am a living thief. You are living a life that steals the tribute that belongs to Jesus Christ. Remember what 1 Corinthians 19:20 says. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not of your own. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your bodies and in your spirit, because they are God's. They belong to the Lord. You know, revival, and I certainly need revival, I really do, is when God, when the glory of God rises up in our individual hearts and our body, and, you know, so high that it becomes a corporation of worship. That's what revival is. When I get revived, someone else gets revived, we come together, I'm going to tell you, and it raises the glory of God. But purging of this temple, this thing will get you here now. Matthew 21:12 again it says, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast them out of the soul, bought in the temple, overthrew the tables of money changers and the seats of them, the soul does. Now 2 John 2:15-16 says, and when he had made a scourge of small cord, that's a whip, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the money changers' money and overthrew the table, and said unto them, that soul dove, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. We're talking about the loving, sweet Jesus. Made him a whip. And he tore up the table. Can you see Jesus Christ going in that temple area? And just taking those tables and turning them up. Those doves is throwing them cages up. Taking that whip and running a whole bunch out of there. Our nice, loving Savior done that. He done that because Jesus Christ was showing that he will not live in a dirty house, but he will clean house. Are you the temple of God? He says, I will clean house. This is a loving Savior that loves you so much and loves you like you are, but loves you so much to not leave you like you are. He come in to clean house. And he cleans house with a whip, scourges us, cleans house. He made that whip, and he comes in, and you know what? He's going to clean house. Hebrews 12:5-8, it says, and ye have forgotten exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as a son. For what son is whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, I mean all Christians, then if you are without chastisement, then he says you are bastards and not sons, illegitimate. If you do and living in this dirty house, you don't have chastisement. You don't. He says, I hadn't fathered you. These verses means that you are the temple of God. You made it a den of thieves, according to Jesus Christ. You're taking what belongs to God. If this happened to a Christian in a Christian life, Jesus Christ would take a whip of chastising. And I tell you, if you're not being chastised, he's saying you're not saved. I am not your father. I'm not your father. So all those are saved. A person might brag of the lifestyle they're living in the sin, and God don't do anything about it. He just says, you're illegitimate. I didn't father you. Hebrews, same chapter on down 10 and verse 11. For they vary for a few days, that's talking about our sons and fathers on earth, for a few days chasing us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastising, for this present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. He said, you know why it's going on? It's not going to be good. Anybody remember whenever you got a spanking? Anybody remember when you got a spanking? Well, let me tell you, in old days, this is the old days, we got spankings and whippings. I know this is not the modern time that we're living in. Most of y'all know what I'm talking about. You got spankings and you got whippings. Y'all remember that? It wasn't very joyous at that time, was it? But what your mother and your father was doing by doing that, you say, you know, for had a purpose in mind for doing that, and maybe you didn't understand that purpose at that time, and you sure didn't think they loved you. But anyway, they wanted you to grow up where they could be proud of their child. And that's what God said. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. God cleans the temple through chastisement. That's one way he cleans these temples. Also by disruption. Now, sometime in John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, he says again, when he made a scourge of small cords, he drove out the money changers out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the money changers and overthrew the table and said unto them who sold doves, take these things and not make my Father's house of merchandise. I know that sometimes that Jesus Christ will come into our dirty house. He don't come in. He's in there to start with in our temple. And, you know, we forget, you know, that who we belong to. And I said, well, we just ain't got time. We don't care nothing about the things of God. We ain't got time to come to church. Who needs church anyway? You know, go and let man, they out there working every day. Man, piling up this money. Man, they buying new houses, cars, boats, fish. Man, they doing everything they want to do. Man, they ain't got time for God. And they ain't got time for God. Man, I got my business going. I got this good job going over here and all this time. And, you know, all of a sudden, God will disrupt that. He might do it with sickness. He's got a bunch of tools in his toolbox. He might bankrupt you. He might take that job away from you. You think you're doing real good. You ain't got time for God. He'll let you keep going for a while. It might be through death, sickness, whatever it might be in the family. Jesus Christ, this temple. You got plans and it seems like they're just not... They're not going to work out. No time. No time for the Lord. No time for Jesus. Then he comes through that time and you think that you... And he disrupts everything. That's what he's doing inside this temple. They thought they had things going. His money changer. Man, they had a living made. They could just see their future out there where I just keep putting this money in the bank. Man, I'm making money after money, day after day. There's all this extra interest they was charging. Boy, they was getting rich. Boy, this is going to keep going on. And Jesus comes into that temple and disrupts their plans. I want to tell you that God lives in your temple and he will disrupt that person's plan. They think they can live without God and they're not glorifying God in their body. He lets you get by for a while and I don't know how long he let you get by. But if you're a child of God, he will disrupt your plans. Some people, I'm going to tell you, I believe a lot of sickness because of this right here. They ain't got no time for God. He'll throw you in a hospital. He'll put you in an operating table. He'll make you look straight up where you can't look nowhere else. Say, I ain't got time to go to church. I ain't got time for this. I ain't got time. I ain't got time to tithe. I don't need God. Why do I need to go to church for? He'll put you flat on your back into a hospital bed somewhere or another. And you'll go to thinking some things. And that old mind will start clearing out because he'll disrupt your plans. Will he not? He'll disrupt our plans. Now, you know that Jesus Christ, there was a lot of temples at that time. But I remember there's only one holy temple, that was God's temple. There was a lot of pagan temples. Jesus didn't go into them pagan temples. He went into the holy temple. Just like people that's lost. He's not chastising them because he loves that sinner. But you are the temple of God. This temple, that temple is what Jesus Christ is working on, not the pagan temples. He's bringing those people to him, but he's working in you. He's working on them, but he's working in you. Because you see, you're that holy temple. You're the one that he's concerned with. You're the one that can't get away with those things. And then the purpose of the temple. Matthew 21 and 13, as I've already read. And said unto them, if is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Remember the temple and the tabernacle, the altar of incense. Like I said, we're going to probably study that before long, I hope so. The incense was a picture of people praying. It's people, the prayers put in the incense, always smoke going up continuously all the time. That was the priest's job, to keep the incense and the smoke going up all the time. Luke 18 and 1 says, and he spoke a parable to them to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint. Just keep on praying, praying continuously. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17 says, pray without ceasing. My house should be a house of prayer. You're the temple of God. Now, how can I pray without ceasing? We have to sleep and we have to eat. Pray without ceasing. How are we going to do that? That means be continuously in communion with God, always. You mean while you're asleep? I mean always. That's what God said. This temple should be in communion with God in prayer all the time. How's this going to be? Well, us fathers might not know a whole lot about this, but you mothers do. You ever had a sick child, fever? You sit up and maybe you rocked it half the night, all night. And it finally went to sleep. And you're so sleepy you can't hardly hold your eyes open. You have rocked that baby and you've laid it down now. Man, is you going to get you a little bit of sleep. Man, you lay down, boy, you out. Boy, you give out. You mothers, you know what I'm talking about? Maybe car comes by and blows a horn, you don't hear it. Somebody knock on the door, you don't hear it. Let that baby cry. What's wrong? What's wrong? You got it up your arms again. You know why? Because you were sensitive to the cry of that baby, even while you was asleep. That's when it says pray without ceasing. Be in communion with God all the time, just as that mother is so sensitive about that baby. She's in communion with that baby even while she is dead out. All these other sounds and noise don't disturb her, but that one sound, because she is in constant contact with that baby even while she's asleep. Dads, we don't know nothing about that like mamas do. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Listen, D.L. Moody, he was a Billy Graham in his day. D.L. Moody, they said he never made long prayer, but he was never long without prayer. He was never long without prayer. But you know what we try to do? We try, Ephesians 4 and 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In everything, he said, now what we try to do, good gracious, I ain't got but another hour. Anyhow, what he tries to do is tell us you can't separate the sacred from the secular. I mean, as I explained this before, your life is not like a magazine that's got one chapter on religion. Your whole life, the whole magazine, is all on the sacred. Everything that we do, pray about everything. Charles Stanley, y'all know when he first went to First Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, they had a lot of financial problems, bad problems when Charles Stanley first went there. They had a committee meeting. I mean, it was kind of bad because of the financial problem they was in. And Charles Stanley said, you know, as they gathered around the table, he said, you know, men, we need to pray about this thing. And one man said, and he pinned this down, Pastor, this is something that's not spiritual. This is business. This is not spiritual. This is business. You know what that man had tried to do? Separate the sacred from the secular. And we cannot do this. When we have a conference at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, that should be as much of a worship service as any other service you go to. It's a business meeting, but it's sacred to God because it's his business that we're tending to and not ours. And he holds us accountable for that. Now, the test is now pray for about everything. Well, what can we pray for? What's something we can't pray for? People have told me, you know, that I work with, they said, I pray that I win the lottery. I said, you keep on praying, but I'm going to tell you what, if you win the lottery, it ain't going to be because of God answered your prayer, I can tell you that. Hey. We have to be careful what we pray for, though. And there's a test. Can we pray for these things? I'm already out of time. Good gracious, love you. I used to go by a convenience store if I went to the railroad on Thursday. If I got me a cup of coffee, I drank coffee all night long. And this lady was telling me she was living with this man, you know, just living with him without marriage, you know. And he left her. She's praying. And she said, I pray to God he'll come back to me. I said, well, I tell you, you can pray all you want to, but God ain't going to answer such a prayer as that. He ain't going to answer that. What can we pray for? We need to be careful what we pray for. 1 Samuel 12 and 23 says, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. He teaches the good and the right way and what to pray for. I'm already out of time, and I'm just getting into my third point. Temple's a place of prayer, place of power. God give us power. And then we find out that it's also a place of praise. And this temple. Do you praise God in such a way that you cause other people to praise God? What is in your life that will cause someone else to praise God? What is in your life that you pray? What would it call other people? Revelation 3:20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. We'll have supper together. You know what Jesus Christ is? If you hear my voice, he's talking to people today. And, you know, there's a lot of people. This is the temple of God. They're saved, and he's talking to them. You know what they want to do? They try to, you know, with the privilege they have, they just try to maybe... To slide their ties under their door and not come into the house of God. I mean, it don't happen, but that's what they're trying to do. They might come up to the door of this church and try to pray through the keyhole. Try to pray through the keyhole. God says, don't do that. He says, open the door. Open the door. Knocking. Your privilege to open the door. Your privilege. Can't slide it under the door. Can't stand outside. He says, open the door. I am a temple of God. And he will not live in a dirty house. He will clean house. He will clean house. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will clean house. And he will. He's got many ways of doing that. Why? Because the blood that Jesus shed for this part here, me, my soul, what I living for, was it worth what Jesus Christ died for right here? Am I glorifying God in my body to bring others to the Lord? Brother Barry, you got a quick... I'm sorry I took up so much time tonight. But after spending several hours, I couldn't let it get away. Thank you. We'll bow inside of prayer for just a moment.